Hello, today's podcast is about developing your classroom presence or your teaching persona. This is something that develops over time, but I think I've got a few hints that could help you develop it faster and be the best that you can be sooner. I often say that being a teacher in a special needs classroom is a lot like being a one-man show, where eyes and ears are on you, everybody's watching, they're looking at your body language, your facial expression, they're watching your lead. So if you want to have a presence, you need to be ready for that and always be giving out the positive vibes, the calm, confidence, and the more you do it, the easier it becomes. It's also about people walking in the classroom and knowing straight away that you're in charge, that you're the teacher, that you have things under control. So I think the number one place to start is looking after yourself. Unfortunately, a lot of teachers are very exhausted and burnt out. And if you're feeling like that, and if you're stressed and tired and maybe feeling a bit de-skilled, then that welcoming, confident persona is not going to come across. So the first thing to do is to look after yourself. Make sure you eat well, make sure you sleep well, but also give yourself some time off. You don't want to spend all day in class, drive home through traffic and start marking books. In the special needs sector, that's not likely, but mainstream it is. And this advice is as good for special needs teachers as it is for mainstream. You don't want to spend the night cutting out or making resources. You must have some time where you switch off from the classroom, maybe just chill by watching the telly or playing some music or take the dog for a walk or play with your own children. Just take time out. You're not paid to work 24 hours a day, and you're not paid to work 7 days a week. So try and get some balance there. And remember this, that you just need to be good enough for most of the children most of the time. You don't have to be, and it's almost impossible to be, outstanding at all times. Too difficult and very impractical. So let's take number one as a given that you're looking after yourself. Then you need to look after the adults in your classroom too. Remember to praise them and show gratitude. And it never goes wrong to have a box of chocolates in the stock room, or to start the morning meeting with some croissants or nice fresh coffee. People need to feel appreciated. Some flowers at the end of a hard week, a little card saying thank you. All those things will help make people feel appreciated, make people enjoy working with you. So important. Okay, so let's talk about the one-man show. Let's talk about the costume. Well, in a special needs room, your clothes that you wear need to be very flexible and comfortable. Shoes that you can run in, clothes that you can bend over in and get down on the floor in, and clothes that you can wash. I once had a very fabulous ed psychology student spend some weeks with me in my classroom, and on the first day he turned up in a beautiful suit, beautiful clean shirt and a tie. I looked at him and I said, let's take your jacket off and take your tie off, and I'm worried that they're going to get spoiled. He went, oh, no, it'll be all right. And within seconds, one of my curious autistic students had gone behind him and sneezed right down the back of his jacket, the most humongous sneeze I've ever seen. I always used to email the PGC students that I used to mentor a few days before they would start and say, please come wearing comfortable, washable clothes. Men, don't wear suits, don't wear ties. Ladies, don't wear scarves. Ties and scarves can be quite a dangerous thing to have around your neck if a student goes into crisis. So always make sure that the clothes you're wearing are sensible, comfortable, and aren't going to end up being used against you. One other point is don't wear trousers that are easily pulled down, and don't wear shirts or blouses that can be pulled open by popping open the buttons, or I'm making it sound awful, but you definitely don't want to be standing talking to a group and have a mischievous kid come and just pull your pants down. You need to have good grip on your clothes. Okay, so that's the costume sorted out. I think it's really important that you realise the power of your body language. And what you want to project is somebody who's confident, who's calm, but also has a warm vibe, a welcoming vibe, a cheerful vibe. No one wants to walk into a classroom where the teacher is grumpy or sour or not interested. You need to be very much the smiley face that greets people when they come into your room. That's students or the staff, visitors. A smile goes a long way. So even if you're not feeling great, actually try really hard to be warm and welcoming and friendly. Be approachable. I think it's really, really important to be calm as well. There are so many things that can go wrong in a special needs classroom, from the simplest thing like a jug of water being spilt all over somebody to a serious challenging and violent behaviour. And in all of those instances, teacher needs to remain calm and confident and in control. If you do have students who are likely to display violent or challenging behaviour, it's important that the whole team have a plan, a behaviour management plan that they've discussed beforehand, so that if the situation starts to arise, you've got your plan ready to go. Everybody's on the same page. You don't need to start discussing things. Here's what you need to develop, and it's a really useful thing to develop. It's your neutral face and your neutral stance. Neutral faces are useful in other circumstances, which I'll talk about a bit later, but neutral face has to be used when someone is presenting threatening or violent or extremely challenging behaviour that's stopping the learning or threatening the safety of the people in the room. Neutral isn't an angry face. It's not an aggressive face. It's not an anxious face. It's a face that says nothing. It's a face that doesn't give away the emotions that you're feeling. And it's a hard face to hold in a crisis situation, and it's a face that you probably need to practice in front of a mirror. And the reason you need to stay calm and with a neutral face is that this will de-escalate the situation. Your body language needs to remain neutral. Don't go in with your hands on your hips or pointing your finger or arms folded across your chest. All of those are suggesting that you are ready to escalate the situation, that you may become aggressive. What you want to do is de-escalate and neutralise, but you also need to be ready to protect yourself. So keep a distance from someone that's exhibiting behaviour that might lead to being violent. Don't put yourself in the hit zone. What you need to do is either get everybody out of the room or the student that's beginning to become aroused and difficult out of the room. And it will very much depend on who the student is, how many other adults are in the room, but you have to make quick and instant decisions. And all of those decisions are better made if you look neutral. We could do a whole podcast on this, and most special schools do in fact have training in place for helping and supporting students in a crisis and moving them. Each school will have its own policy, but all of those will need someone to remain calm and neutral and not escalate the situation. Voice is really important. It needs to be, again, in a crisis situation or one that's beginning to escalate, it needs to remain neutral and calm, but also in command. So very easy to understand instructions like open the door, leave now. Very simple, calm commands that cannot be misinterpreted by either the other children or the adults in the room. Voice control is always better if you can lower your tone rather than get high pitched. And quite often, if there's an emergency, our tendency is for our voice to become higher pitched. So work on keeping that tone nice and low. Look after the majority of students and the adults in your room. So often it's not appropriate for you to be the one that leaves the room to deal with a crisis. You should stay in the classroom. You can't be in control of your classroom and the students if you're outside. I think that's really important. One of the things that is often said to me is, how come kids listen to some people and not to others? And one of my frustrations when I was a younger, less experienced teacher was that children always seemed to listen to the big men in the room. Really frustrating. But I think just being a 6'4" guy, it just sends a message straight away, which is, don't mess with me. It doesn't matter what the stance of that guy is, whether they're a gentle giant or an incredible Hulk. All kids pick up on that. All kids are like, I'm not going to mess with him. Unfortunately, for people like me who are of a small frame, and certainly in the latter half of my teaching, approaching 66, and for many of my colleagues who are slight women or short women, you cannot rely on your physical presence. So you absolutely have to rely on your ability to your stage presence to be good, your teaching presence to be good. But you also have to rely on the fact that over a period of time, people have realized that when you say something, that you mean it. And I can give you two good examples of this. Sometimes students decide they're going to sit in the most annoying place, like in the doorway or in the doorway during a fire practice. And they'll sit cross-legged and know that their bulk is really too much for a small person to move. And they have developed this behavior because they know it brings tension and causes chaos. So being able to deal with the students in that situation without actually physically lifting them up is a really useful tool. I had a very simple tool. I would say to them, okay, Tommy, I'm going to give you a choice. You can get up and walk outside yourself, or I will help you. I'm going to count to five and then I'll help you. And I would count slowly to five. I can't remember a time when I got to five and they hadn't got up and walked out the door. But the point being is, those students knew that when I said I was going to do something, I meant it. Don't know what they thought I was going to do when I was going to help them, but they didn't want to make that choice. They always chose to get up. Your reputation goes far. Other students see that when you count to five, people will get up and move. It helps. It really helps. But again, that very neutral face and the neutral voice and counting to five helps. Doesn't always work. I had an occasion in a hydro pool when a red-haired girl, absolute mischief maker, very, very challenging, but also very, you know, she had so much charisma and she was hilarious. We had a hydro pool, and one of the things all the class loved was our hydro session, where in fact we were just having fun in the warm water. And we used to give them a warning, 5 minutes, and then everybody has to get out and we have to get showered and changed, etc. All the warnings had happened, all the children had got out of the pool except for my red-haired girl, and she looked at me in absolute defiance. And I said to her, right, I'm going to have to count to five. And if I get to five, I'm going to have to come in the pool and help you out. I was fully dressed because I had been the person on the side in that session, not the person in the water. The teacher who'd been in the water had also got dressed. All the other kids had gone back to the classroom and we were getting dangerously near to the end of the day. So I started to count in full knowledge that she would get out of the water before I got to five. I got to five and she hadn't got out of the water. I had to get in the water with all my clothes on before she took one look at me, skadoodled to the steps and got out. But I was soaking wet. That was a fail. But from then on, she always got out of the water at the right time. I don't know what she thought I was going to do, but she did know that I was prepared to get in the pool fully clothed. So what else? So, if you say you're going to do something, do it. Mean what you say. Don't give them choices that you can't honour. And if you can, make the choices win-win for you. So all of those things will help you to have more of a classroom presence. But try to always be cheerful and welcoming. Everybody wants to come in a room and have a smile. So even on a really bad day, please try your hardest to be at least cheerful and warm and welcoming. Kids pick up very easily on grumpiness, and it's like an infection, and before long everybody's grumpy, and they pick up on smiling and cheerfulness. Don't try to be the best friend. Never works, because you are in charge. You are the adult. They are the child. You can be a friendly, trusted adult, but you can't be their best friend. Always a huge mistake. Remember to praise everybody, including any adults that you've been working with. Thank them and praise them. It works. It helps everybody if they feel appreciated. I hope you found this useful, and I would be extremely grateful if you would share it, and I will be talking more about behavior management in future podcasts. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a good day. Go and buy the box of chocolates and stick it in the storeroom and practice your neutral face in the mirror. Take care.